In this morning, I'm going to ask if Chick and Jake and Alex, can you do me a huge favor? And we're going to move that stand a little bit further up. Thanks. And just don't let the sheets let fall, because we want this to be a surprise for everybody as we get to the end. And just a couple of things as we get started. The first is, if you're a parent of a student in Hope Student Ministries, I just need to meet with you for about 5 minutes after the service, right in the conference room. And, sneaky. Come on, guys. Right on. They're doing a great job, aren't they? So if you're a parent of a student in Hope Student Ministries, meet with me in the conference room right after church. It'll take about 5 minutes before we as a team go to do some training today. The second is this, is if you'd like to follow along just by showing of hands, the ushers would be glad to get you a Bible. And I know at times we put the scriptures up on the screen, but it's not too bad to grab a Bible to follow along with, as we're going to be looking into the book of Colossians today. And finally, inside our church bulletin is a half sheet outline, if you'd like to follow along with that also. So we've been in our series called It's All About Jesus, where we've been looking at the book of Colossians together. And over the past couple of weeks, some neat things have gone on. 2 weeks ago, we heard a message that talked about hope held out. And we learned that all things were created by God and for His good purposes. And because of that, we were challenged to remain strong in the faith because of that hope that exactly is held out in the gospel. And that hope is Jesus Christ. Last week, we heard through our Mother's Day message, we heard a wonderful teaching on what we have in Christ. And we were reminded that Christ is our strength, Christ is our hope, Christ is our comfort. We could go through a long list of who Christ is and what we have in Him. And one of the questions that we were challenged with was, where do we take God for granted? And so that brings us to this morning, where we have been going through this series in Colossians, and what we want to remember is what this series is all about. And what we said at the beginning was that in Christ, we are complete. We live for His greatness. So in Christ, we are what? We live for His. Let's try that again. In Christ, we are. We live for His. Absolutely. And that's what we want to remember, that because of what Christ has done for us, God sees us complete through His Son, Jesus, and that we live for His great name and His deep reputation. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, which we get this series from, it says, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So that's when we take this time in Colossians, that's what we want to remember. In Christ, we are complete. We live for His greatness. So as we get started this morning, I have to say that I'm a bit of what you would call a Disney geek. And it's not just that my family and I, we take vacations down at Disney World in Orlando, but also I began to look at the life of Walt Disney and say, how did this whole thing get started? And Jeremy, if we have that picture up there, there's Walt Disney. And back in the 1940s, he and some employees came together and some family, and they began to do cartoons. And those cartoons, those Disney cartoons, went from Mortimer Mouse to Mickey Mouse. And actually, he was going to call it Mortimer Rat, actually. But anyway, his mother said, "That sounds dumb. You ought to go with Mickey Mouse. That'll be great." But then what happened during that time is they were working a lot of hours, what was required of the studios of them. So they were putting in 5, 6, 7 days a week, 12 to 16 hour days. And Walt began to think, wouldn't it be great if there would be a place for me and my family to go on the weekends just to get away? And then he began to think, wouldn't it be even better if my family and employees and their families could get away? A place that we could call, Disneyland? And so he began to really dream about that. And not only did he dream about it, but he made it a reality. And in 1953-54, Disneyland opened its doors for the first time. Now, what I want to do is I want to share throughout our time here together about his story. But that brings us to this morning and with our passage that we're going to be looking at. What we want to look at this morning is the longing for later. We want to look at the longing for later, the hope of Jesus in all of us. Now, I want to be clear that the hope of Jesus in all of us, what we need to understand is the hope of Jesus is for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so, but we can also understand that Christ is available to all. But the big idea for today, what we want to remember is this, is that Christ is a reality for both now and later. So if you're following along your outline, the big idea is this, Christ is our reality for now and later. You see, when you and I live in the reality that Christ is real in our lives, it helps us live today in the anticipation of what is to come with eternity. And many times, and I know for myself that I'm guilty of this as well, is that I don't live in that reality at times. And when we don't live in the reality of Christ being real in our lives, sometimes our prayer life begins to become a shopping list to God. Reading God's word becomes boring because there's too many fancy words in there that we don't understand and we put it down. And sometimes it's, well, you know, connecting with my community of faith, if I get there, you know, that's great, but they're open, you know, 52 weeks out of the year and we can get there sometime, no one's gonna miss me. And many times what happens is our Christian life becomes one lived out of obligation and duty rather than of wholehearted devotion and love to Christ. But there's hope in that. You see, when you and I begin to live with the fact that Christ is a reality now, he will help us to live our lives fully devoted to him. And that's what brings us to our passage this morning. Paul is continuing in his letter to the church at Colossae to once again remain strong in the faith. And he begins to write to them in our passage today that we're going to look at, that listen, there is suffering and there is a mission that is involved. There is a mystery, but yet there is hope. And there is the Christ effect that goes all with it and why I do what I do. And so why don't we take a look together at Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 1. And again, if you have your Bibles, Colossians is the 12th book of the New Testament in the Bible. We're going to be looking at verses 24 through 29 today. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Beginning with verse 24, it says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." So once again, Paul is reminding them, remain strong in the faith, but here's why I do what I do. Here's what comes with what I do, but it's all because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And so that's what, once again, that's what we want to look at today. We want to look at the suffering and the mission. We want to look at the mystery and the hope. And finally, we want to look at the Christ effect. But what we want to do is we want to frame all those things in that one phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what we want to do this morning is what can we take from this passage for our lives and seeing Christ as a reality now? So as we look together, we look at first the suffering and the mission. And we see, again, if you're following in your outline, is that Christ in you equals suffering. Christ in you equals suffering. And the hope of glory equals short term. The hope of glory equals short term. What we see here in verses 24 and 25 is this, is that Paul is not saying that what Christ did on Calvary's cross, it wasn't enough. That wasn't what Paul was saying here. What he was saying is that I am suffering for the cause of Christ because of my oneness with Christ. Paul was telling the church, he said, if we are going to share the good news of Jesus Christ, we need to understand that suffering is inevitable. And see, what they suffered in that day and time was horrific. Not only Christians were crucified, Not only were they thrown in prison, but there were things like they would tie women's ankles with rope and then tie the other end of the rope to a bull, and that bull would run and dragging them along. They would tie animal skins or sew animal skins to their bodies and leave them to wild dogs. This is the type of suffering that Paul was talking about. And if you remember, Paul was in prison as he wrote this letter to the church. He said, this is what's going to happen. This is inevitable. Not only that, Paul was saying this is going to happen, but he said, this is what I am going through as well. Paul's resume is one of being beaten. Paul's resume is one of being stoned with rocks, left hungry, left naked, thrown in prison, and left for dead. He said, I am going through what I am writing you. Remain strong. Allow Christ to be your reality now. Because this was Paul's mission that God had called him to do. He said, I'm doing this for the church. I'm doing this for the sake of Christ, who is the head of the church. And not only that, he says, I want those Gentile, that other people group in the church, to know God's secret plans. Because it is a joy for me to do as I live for the cause of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And when I think of suffering or persecution, I cannot relate to what they went through. I think maybe someone may not want to be around me, or somebody may say names to me, or, you know, oh, it's weird, and people think Jesus is weird, and I'm weird and all that. Oh, my goodness, they may not like me. And when I think of suffering, I think, wow, I have it pretty good when I share the good news of Jesus Christ. But I did think of just maybe even a modern day story of suffering. And it wasn't anything heavy. But when our team from our church here went to Transnistria last year, I met a gentleman by the name of Vlad. Vlad was one of our interpreters there at the camp that we were running. But Vlad was also a pastor of a church. It was a bilingual church where he had Russian and English. And he was teaching English as a second language as a community outreach. And when we went to his church on that Sunday night, we didn't go to a church building. We went to what they call, not what we know, as a community center. And it was literally a room that we went in. And I have to say, from the end of the stage to the wall, and that wide was the room that we went in. And there was about 15 to 20 people there. And so as I got to know Vlad throughout the week, I asked him, so what's the deal with your church? And he said, I'll tell you this, we are being persecuted through red tape. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He says, unless we are part of the Russian Orthodox Church, we don't get the privileges that the Russian Orthodox Church does. We have to sublease our building from someone else. We cannot even lease this facility, that one room where 15 people meet. And he said, we are praying that one day that the government would be removed so that we could worship God freely. And so I was like, wow. I come here every Sunday not having to look over my shoulder to wonder if somebody's going to turn me in for worshiping God freely in this country. And yet there's a man who says the government is against what we're trying to do. And you may say, well, that's not too bad. But listen, if you were to Google the persecuted church, if you were to Google Voice of the Martyrs, you would see that people today in different parts of the world are giving their lives for the cause of Christ, literally giving their lives for the cause of Christ. And yet what you do see, I just heard this week that in mainland China, Christianity is spreading like wildfire. Why? Because they're being persecuted. And yet what you and I can do in the world that we live in, sure, people may be hostile towards the gospel, because the truth of Jesus is that he's either attractive or he's repulsive to the people around us. But yet what we see here is that we will, in our North American context, we will suffer for the gospel of Christ. But what Paul is saying here is, are you willing to go all the way? And if you're willing to go all the way, remain strong in Christ. And it's only short term. That's what Paul is telling us today, as he told the church. Because where we go to school, where we work, our neighborhoods, it doesn't matter where we are and those people. Think about the circle of influence that you have. Am I willing to suffer for the cause of Christ in my circle of influence? I thought about our students because we've been challenging them over the past 6 weeks about sharing Christ with those around you. We challenged them to write names down that they knew of friends who just maybe just to invite to a youth event or maybe just invite to church or even just bring up spiritual matters. And so all those 6 weeks led up to Friday night where we did an all-nighter. And then that all-nighter, there were several kids who brought friends because they want them to know Christ. And even if it was through staying up all night, playing laser tag, or playing inflatable jousting, that was just one way that they could do that. And so this is what we want to remember. When you and I suffer for the cause of Christ, we need to remember to stay focused on Him. Stay focused on Him, because what happens is that we turn away from the comfortabilities of this easy life that we have at times. Not only that, when we focus on Christ, He is the one who strengthens us as we experience Him more and more, as we share people with people who Christ is, the one who is the hope of glory. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 12, it says, "Dear friends, do not be," what's that word there? What was it? Okay, so dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. So if there is resistance to the gospel of Christ as you share, or as you live that out, don't be surprised. It will happen. But yet Peter goes on to say, "But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." How powerful that is. So don't be surprised. Oh my goodness, they didn't like what I had to say or how I'm living. We don't need to be surprised. We can rejoice in the fact that this is temporary, but He wants for us, Christ wants for us to continue to remain strong in that faith, and that we will suffer for the cause of Christ, but it's only short term. So the question is this: if Christ is our reality, what would our resume look like as we live out His mission in the world? We heard of Paul's resume. We've heard of Vlad's resume. What would our resume look like as we live out the mission of Christ in our world? When Christ is our reality, we will have difficulties when it comes to being people who live for His cause. But remember, it's only temporary. So we see the suffering and the mission. Now we want to take a look at the mystery and the hope. The mystery and the hope. Christ in you equals our only hope. Christ in you equals our only hope. And the hope of glory equals available to all. The hope of glory equals available to all. What we see here in verses 26 and 27 is this, is that there was an attitude among certain people in the church that the mystery of God was only for a select few. It wasn't for everybody, it was just for them. But yet what we see in Scripture is that God's mystery was revealed in Jesus Christ when He came to this earth. And see, God's purpose and His story of redemption was now openly announced. And I remember when my wife Tina had planned a surprise birthday party for my 40th. So imagine if she said, "You know, that'd be nice to do a surprise party for Jeff, and I'm going to get some people to help me get it ready, and Jeff and nobody else is going to know about it. Just us. Like, we're going to do our deal, and we're going to plan it all, and Jeff's never going to know about it, and the people we want to invite, they're not going to know about it. And then the night of the 40th birthday, it's like, ha, we got him, didn't we? Because he's never going to know." Could you imagine? Like, that would be very awkward, and everybody's sitting around looking at each other. And this is what was happening here. There was almost like this holy huddle, if you want to call it, to say, you know what, no one else needs to know what we know. But what happened with my 40th is that it was planned. The invitations were sent out, and when I walked in the door, I was utterly speechless. That's a rare occasion, but I was utterly speechless. Because my wife wanted others to be a part of it. My wife wanted others to celebrate in the life of her husband. And yet that's what Paul is saying here. The mystery of God has been revealed in my son, Jesus Christ. And this is for everyone to know. Because when my son came to this earth, he came for one purpose and one purpose only. And that was to die for the sins of humanity to take on the penalty of sin and death, which humankind could not do. And the secret was out when he died on the cross and said, "It is finished." The secret was out when, after 3 days, by the power of God, Christ rose from the dead. The secret is out. It's not just for a select few, but it is available to all. Not only that, when Christ is our reality, when we see that he is our only hope, it helps us, as we learned last week, with the struggles that we have in our lives as we battle in this broken world. That's what happens. Because if Christ is our hope, if hope is put in the person of Jesus, then we can battle and we can have victory in our lives because of what Christ is doing on our behalf. You see, what Paul was saying to the church, he was saying, "Christian Gentile people, I want you to know that the secret has been revealed, and that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. By a supernatural act of God, when you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of life, he came and dwells in you, and now it's available for all." He was saying that the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians were going to come together as one. There wasn't any secrets anymore. The secret was out. It's what Christ has done for us. Once again, think about our circle of influence and the different people that we know who may have different economic, social, or ethnic diversity. And do we see that Christ is available to them as well? You know, with Walt Disney, one of the things when he began to see that this Disneyland can become a reality, he also realized that probably a bank would not finance him for what he wanted to do. But what he did was this. He went on television and he shared with the country about Disneyland and what was coming. That was a reality for him, and he began to share it with the country to get people to think about and to get excited about what was coming. Because that was a reality for him, and he wanted others to know. And so with that, I thought about, well, if Christ is our reality, and we live in that reality, are there other places that we're placing our hope? Are there other places where we're placing our hope? Because if Christ in you is our only hope, are we putting it in other things? And second is again, do we realize that it's not just for us? Because of what Christ has done for us, his message is available to all. Because when you and I understand that Christ is a reality, we live in the hope of a person. Not things, not stuff, but in the person of Jesus Christ. And we recognize that these, even with our community of faith, these doors are open to all. The message of Christ is available to all. And so what we see here this morning is that Paul has shared with us about the suffering and the mission. He shared with us the mystery and the hope. And finally, what we see is Paul shares about the Christ effect. Paul shares with us the Christ effect, and we see that Christ in you equals cultivate, and the hope of glory equals complete. Christ in you equals cultivate, the hope of glory equals complete. Paul's greatest desire for the church at Colossae was that they would become spiritually mature. That was his heartbeat. He was warning them that without Christ, there is a life of suffering and separation from God for eternity. But for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, there is an eternity of celebration with God. And he was also reminding them that you are complete in Christ. And you remember, church, that it is not for a select few. And so we ask the question, then, why cultivate? Why cultivate? We need to understand that our spiritual growth is a process in which we are involved with God. Because when we gave our lives to Christ, God said, "You are complete through my Son." But now it's the process that we will go through until you are with me face to face, and we're going to work together. So it's a process in which you and I are involved, and we understand that it's Christ in us. His Spirit is working in our lives and through our lives to grow us to become more like His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's a process that goes on from now until we meet Him face to face. And as Phyllis shared last week, she shared that we do cultivate our faith through several ways, and they're simple, but yet they're hard at the same time. It's reading God's word, saying, "God, give me fresh eyes to see you. Not only to see you, but to teach me how you want to adjust my life to your ways." It's not just praying with that shopping list that we have for God, but it's saying, "God, I want to listen to you. I want you to speak to me. I want to hear from you, Lord." It's not only that, but it's sharing Christ with others and taking that risk to do so. It's connecting with this community of faith and serving God because He has created us for His purposes. And when I think about cultivating my faith, I think about taking time of continuing my education with the seminary lectures that I'm experiencing. And this recent course that I was taking was on Old Testament history. You look excited. Okay, so I take this Old Testament history and I learned about like prophets and I learned about judges and kings. But what was so powerful was when we got to King Solomon. And King Solomon was a man who said, "God, I just want your wisdom. I want you. I want to live for you. I want to be 100%. And as we look through Solomon's life and study his life, Solomon didn't end well. Solomon turned away from God and began to worship and to say, "Well, all these other gods are good too, and you know, that's awesome because of all the wives that I have and they love all these other gods," but he didn't finish well. Now, why do I share that with you? Is because last Sunday at a Mother's Day teaching, we hear about King Solomon. And we hear the question, "Where are you taking God for granted?" And I thought, where am I taking God for granted? And you know, here's the thing. I said, "God, where am I taking you for granted?" And what he showed me was that, "Jeff, listen, here's the deal. Just because," and this came out of the blue, right? You ask God for things, like he'll show you, and your wife goes to Bible study, great. Your daughter is in youth group, fabulous. But Jeff, don't take me for granted that you can't play a part in that as well. Remember, you know, you want to continue to read God's word with your family. It's like, you know what? We haven't done that in a bit. You know what? God, forgive me. I want to finish well when it comes to my daughter. I want to finish well when it comes to my wife. And that's what I learned. That's what I learned to cultivate my faith through being able to be, in this area, a spiritual leader in my home. And it was so powerful. Because when we sat down as a family, I said, "Listen, you know, I know that we were kind of on and off with this thing, but I want you to know that I want to grow with you as a family. And I don't want to just leave it up to the youth ministry, and I just don't want to leave it up to the Bible studies." And that's what we do when we cultivate our faith. We have to dig in and allow God to work that soil of our hearts, as Phyllis said last week, and root and establish in deep. And we can understand that because, again, we have been made complete in Christ. And yet he wants to take us through the process. Just get to know me more. Get to know who I am. Let me show you how to live for me in my ways. But what this cultivation takes, I have to be honest, we have to make the conscious decision to say, "I want to grow." We have to consciously say, "I raise the white flag. I surrender." And it's not a bad way of surrendering. It's not a bad way of giving up. It's saying, "God, I need you to help me cultivate this faith that you've called me to in Jesus Christ." The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2. It says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your faith with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. You see, when you and I make the decision to cultivate our faith, the beautiful thing is that our motivation and our obedience to God cannot be separated. Remember, we shared before that he is our biggest fan. He is cheering us on as we grow in him. And you and I will move to maturity in Christ. But it all boils down to, am I ready to grow up? And that's what we have to ask. We can also ask this. If Christ is our reality, where are we developing our spiritual lives? If Christ is our reality, where are we developing our spiritual lives? For myself, it's doing the time with God on my own, but it's also through the continuing education. I'm developing my faith by also taking time with my family again. Where are we taking time to develop our spiritual lives? Remember this, when Christ is our reality, he is the one who helps us develop it. Paul said in verse 29, he says, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we've looked at the suffering and the mission. We've looked at the mystery and the hope. And we looked at the Christ effect. And so as we take the next few moments to come to a conclusion about what we've looked at today, I want to go back to Walt Disney. You see, when Disney World opened, it was really a disaster on the day that it opened. The week before it opened was record heat waves in California, in the area where Disneyland opened. It said it was 105 degrees the day that Disneyland opened its doors. They said that people had forged tickets to get in, or counterfeited, excuse me, tickets to get in. And they said that the asphalt had not settled yet, so there was ladies who were walking in high heel shoes. Could you imagine being in a theme park in high heel shoes? Like, I just don't get that, but maybe that was back in the day. But could you imagine just walking in high heels and then, you know, and having your shoes stuck? And it was a disaster, they said. But Walt wanted his reality to be a part of not only his life, but to the lives of others. 10 years after Disneyland opened, 10 million people went through those gates in 10 years. Now, Walt Disney did die about 1965, I believe it was. So he didn't see everything that has happened. But yet, because he made it a reality, others caught on to that reality. And now, back in 1971, Disney World opened in Orlando. There's Disney Cruises, there's Adventures by Disney, there's the Disney Channel, there's Disney everything, if you're into that kind of thing. But what we want to see is that he made that a reality. For you and I today, we can choose to make Christ our reality now. Not just say, well, I got heaven down the road waiting for me and I'll spend forever with Jesus. But what about now? What about Christ in you now, who is the hope of glory for later? You know, it's like this painting here that I put together. And I wanted just to use this Christ in you, the hope of glory, to remind us that this is what we have in Christ. Can you see that over there? Oh, wonderful. Wow, that's big. And but sometimes what happens is that we kind of lose focus on Christ in you, the hope of glory in our lives. And many times, what we need to remember is that God says you are complete in Christ. That is your reality for now. And so what happens is that I love it, is that God says, listen, you're complete. But what I want you to remember is that, you know, we're gonna start working on that second coat, because there's gonna be perfection when you meet me face to face. You're gonna be working on this, but you're gonna work on it with me. And what begins to happen, I know in my own life, I begin to take this brush And I begin to say, okay. And I begin to look right here. I'm like, wow, I really don't see anything. Nothing's changing in my life. There's always difficulties. No one likes me because I tell them that Jesus is awesome. They think I'm weird. My only hope, I don't even see any hope around here. And yet what God tells us, he says, listen, I'm painting with the broad strokes. And here's what I'm doing. You don't see it, but here's what I need for you to do as my son is a reality for you now. When those times when you're doing this, Jeff, just back up just a little bit. And I want you to see, what does that say, Jeff? Well, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to remember that when you get here. I want you to just back up just a little bit and see the broader strokes that are happening because I am your reality now. And the things that our family and in my life we've gone through and that we do go through, many of you know our story. And there's times where we just want to paint right here. And yet God's saying, I'm painting the bigger picture. Eternity is a reality. For those of us who placed our faith in Jesus Christ, it's eternity with him. For those of us who say, no, thank you, I got my own deal, my hope is in me, or my hope is in this, or that, or the other thing, we need to understand that there is eternal separation and eternal suffering away from God. But for those of us who said yes to Jesus and have surrendered and raised their white flag and said, I want to live for you with all that I am, then we can back up those times where we're really close. And he's telling us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so that's what we want to ask ourselves this morning. We want to ask this. We want to ask, how do you want to live as a result of Christ in you, the hope of glory? How do you want to live your life as a result of Christ in you, the hope of glory? Or maybe the other question that we can ask is, where in your life are you living where Christ is not your reality? Where in your life are you living where Christ is not your reality? If that's where you are this morning and you're thinking, yeah, I put my hope in a lot of other stuff, and I think that, you know, the situations that I'm in when I live for Christ, or they're never going to end, or maybe it's, you know what, I really don't participate in cultivating my faith, or you know what, this mystery is still a mystery to me, and I'm here every Sunday, and I hear all the same words, but I'm still not getting it. I want to get it, but I'm not there yet. I want to encourage you that today we need to understand what Paul told us. Salvation is available through his son, Jesus Christ. There is hope. No matter what your situation is, no matter how bleak or exciting or whatever you're experiencing in your life now, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. For you and I, when Christ is our reality now, we understand that we can live for his kingdom's cause. And we may have difficulties because of it. When Christ is our reality now, we know that his message and his secret was revealed in his son, Jesus Christ. And that hope is in him because he is the hope of the world. And we can live our lives with Christ as a reality now and choose to say, I want to grow up. Because I know Christ wants to do an amazing work in my life. Because the longing for later, when later does come, I will meet him face to face. And I want to be someone where he says, well done. Well done. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 33, it says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. May we be a people today who choose Christ not just as a reality for later, but a reality for now. May we believe and live out the fact that it is Christ in us who is the hope of glory. Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let's pray. Father, this morning we come to you and you've spoken to us clearly today. Father, sometimes our lives can confuse us when we see that people may not want to hear what we want to share with them or how we're living because of what you've done for us. Father, we also at times, sometimes turn our focus away from you. And we wonder why that we get in ruts or why we have times where it's like, well, how did I get here? And yet what we see today, Father, is that your word is very clear. We see, Lord, that because of what you have done for us, we thank you that Paul said, I want to do for your church. I want people to know that Christ is available to all, and I need him to give me the strength that gives me the energy to continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, what we ask today is that we would come to the realization that you are our hope and that you can be our reality for now as we long for later. And in the times where we want to paint with the small brush and in the times where we don't see everything as you see, may we listen to your voice and back up and take a look and see Christ in you, the hope of glory. I pray today that we would understand clearly that salvation is available through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the work that you did on the cross, Father. And I pray that each of us today would leave here. We would leave people who say, you are my reality. You are my hope. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. And so now as we take time to worship you, may we reflect on how beautiful you are and that one day we will see you face to face. But for now, help us be the people that you've called us to be. For your name's sake and for your glory, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.